But I was just thinking, for our fourth year, because we are now entering our fourth year, what's the message I want to share? And I really felt God challenged me in my own life. So this is a challenge for me to be praying. And I pray these are prayers you'd be praying. My message is 5 dangerous prayers. 5 dangerous prayers that you could pray that I truly believe will make this little family more incredible. And so when it comes down to when the rubber hits the road, as we found out this morning, you can go home, never pray these prayers, or you can go home and go, you know what, I'm going to really stretch and allow these prayers to get into my life. So you ready? They're a bit dangerous. When I say dangerous, if you mean these prayers, they'll change you. First prayer is, Lord, thank you for Troy. He is our supreme leader. No, I'm only joking. I'm only joking. First prayer is, thank you, Jesus, for all you've done, but I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied. That doesn't mean we're ungrateful at all. It just means we're praying a prayer where we're saying, God, I'm believing for more. I'm thankful, don't get me wrong. But as much as I'm thankful, I honestly want to see God do more in our city. I'm not angry. I'm not frustrated at where we're at as a church. I'm not like, man, we should be doing this or that. No, I'm really grateful, but I just know there's got to be more than just having church once a week. There's got to be more to it. I'm not satisfied that we're living this to the max yet, to the full. I'm not satisfied that there's more people that'll be down on Mitchell Street. 10 times more people at a nightclub tonight, and they'll just get completely smashed. I'm not condemning those people, but I'd love to know that there's a great multitude of people worshipping Jesus tonight, yeah? I love the Apostle Paul in Corinthians. He said these words, 1 Corinthians 9. He says, when I preach, I cannot boast, since I'm compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. He then goes on to share a passage where he says, man, to those that are living under the law, to those that are Jewish, I reach out Jewish. To those that are Gentile, I reach out Gentile. To the weak, I become weak. He says, I become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. I love Paul because Paul's one of, we're probably here because Paul preached to some nation and that nation went out to eventually to us. But Paul, he could have prayed this prayer. Guys, I'm chilling out now. My time's down. I've done my thing. I'm good. It's someone else's turn now. He could have said that, but he said, man, I've got to save someone. And I guess that's my heart for our cities, is we've got to keep reaching people. Because if we're not reaching people, we're just having a little churchy club. And that can't be a good thing. I don't want to have a churchy club. You know, Monsoons Church Club or something. I'll be reaching people. That's why I love seeing the red frog crop there. I mean this with love, church. Thankful. But we've got to have something in our lives where we're praying, God, there's got to be more. There's got to be more for my life, more for this season, more for this church, more for this city. If Jesus was here today and you stood before him and you had to give an account of your life, without trying to make you feel miserable and unworthy, it's not my objective because I know we've all messed up, but would you honestly be able to say to Jesus, I'm satisfied with what I've done. I'm satisfied with the amount of people I've been able to share my faith with. I know I'm not. I'm not satisfied. I don't mean that angrily, like God's going to strike me down and say, well, you're useless, Troy. No, he loves you no matter what, but I pray my life and say, man, I want to keep reaching people. Yeah? That's the first prayer. I'm not satisfied. Second prayer. This is a big prayer. And this is the prayer you say in your own words. You say, Lord, I don't want to watch. I want to fight. I don't want to spectate. I want to participate. I don't want to commentate, as a lot of Christians are good at, including myself. I'm a great commentator. I'm great at telling people, oh, yeah, this, and I'm thinking, mate, I shouldn't be commentating, I should be participating. But this is where we say, you know, I don't want to watch anymore, I want to fight. My favorite movie of all time is Braveheart. I love Braveheart. Famous scene, some of you are maybe too young, maybe you're too young to watch it still. I know my wife didn't like it. She thought it was boring, there's horses getting herded there. But there's that famous scene where he's about to fight the English and he asks the question, who will fight? And this little Scotsman says, the English are too many. And then his like superior says, against that, no, we'll run and we'll live. Remember that? And Wallace says, fight, you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. That's what he said. He says, dying in your beds, many years from now, would you be willing to trade everything from this day to that for just one chance? Remember? Just one chance to come back here and tell our enemies. They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom. You remember that? Was that a pretty good Scottish? I'm sorry, does it sound like half Spanish? I don't know. I didn't practice it. I didn't practice that, Nick. Indian Scotsman. Anyways, I don't have to rehearse that part because that message, that speech, not that that's recorded in actual history, that speech, but that speech from the movie is actually locked in my system now. On my deathbed, I'll probably be able to recite that in a real bad accent. But there's that moment where he rallies the troops and they start lifting their pitchforks. And then, I don't know if you've seen it, they lift up their kilts and they go, yeah! And I know when I watch that, I get dressed up and I put on my kilt and play the bagpipes and I'm like, Wallace, Wallace, Wallace. No, I don't really. But there's this stirring when I watch movies like that, that I want to be like that. I want to be one of the guys that's on the front line. Because if you pray this prayer, you're going to know one thing, that Jesus is actually your commander. And I don't know about you, when he rides out to battle, I want to be right there. I don't want to be an archer up the back. And like, I want to be right there. And I pray your prayer would be, God, I want to do something for you. Because the reason why I say that is I promise you there's one guy that's going to wake up and fight this morning, and he's going to wake up tomorrow and fight. And that's the devil. He's going to put up a fight. He hates our city. He hates every person. There's not one person he loves in our city. He just wants to bring destruction. This is what it says in Ephesians chapter 6. It's the armor of God passage. But listen to what Paul says there. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's who our actual fight is. Our fight isn't against people that are sinners. I shared this morning, it breaks my heart, but Planned Parenthood in America, who are basically responsible for planning millions of abortions, and politically correct, I couldn't care less. I think it's the wrongest thing you could ever do, okay? But right now, there's a big full-on statement where they are now at the point where they're saying if an abortion goes wrong, the mother or the doctor still has the choice whether they want to abort. Post-birth. Now, our enemy is not people having abortions. We've got to recognise the devil hates people. We've got to stand up and go, mate, God, we need you to do something in our city. I don't know if you heard that correct. What they're basically saying is even if a baby's born, they still think you've got the right to abort it. Post-birth. That's scary, man, isn't it? That makes me, like, just get sick. Now, I promise you, we're not going to hold up signs as a church outside the abortion clinics and hammer people and tell them they're evil. No, we're going to say, God, you need to do something in our city. I want to fight for our city. I know it's way easier to be a watcher or a spectator. You just got to watch the footy. Man, teams get booed off by the spectators. You imagine being a referee these days. It don't matter if the referee's phenomenal. Half of the crowd thinks he got paid to pay the other, paid, and they bag him out with the commentators. No, we need to be on the field playing. I want to be praying the prayer, God. I don't want to just do life and just be cozy. I actually want to fight. I want to make a difference. I want to be like charging against the enemy. Yeah, yeah. Now some of you aren't giving me much response, which is either, I don't know, or you can fire out, you're hurting the feelings. I don't know what response is in you, but I know one day I'm going to stand before God and He's going to ask me the question, what did you do for me? And I hope you're able to say, man, I fought for you. I lived for you. I gave up my life for you. I lived for you. And you know what? It's going to be duly rewarded. 1 Timothy 6:12, Paul charges Timothy. He says, fight the good faith, brother. Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. He's not saying chill out. He's saying, man, fight it. One of the best well-known stories in the Bible is David and Goliath, where a little boy, 16 maybe, took on a 9-foot giant. For 40 days, an army stood on one hill and an army stood on the other, and they yelled war cry after each other every day. And then Goliath would come out and say, take me on. Who will take me on? Your God's useless. For 40 days, a bunch of soldiers stood there. I probably would stand there too if I saw a 9-foot giant. And I ain't taking him on. For 40 days. Then David rocks up. Little boy says, what's going on down here? Have we forgotten who's on our team? And he says, I'll fight that schmuck, that beastly man. He even says that uncircumcised man. And he takes him on. And this little boy throws a rock, embeds in his head, kills the 9-foot giant. We all know. You know what? Not atheists know the story of David and Goliath. It's just somehow we know the story of David and Goliath. But that's because someone said, I'll fight. I'm not going to watch. I'm going to fight. Third thing. First is, I'm not satisfied. Secondly, I want to fight. Thirdly, this is a big one, and this is a challenge for myself, is this is a dangerous prayer. I love my church family. I pray for my church family. If you were to be honest, and I was to be honest, how much time in the last 7 days or 7 weeks did you actually spend time praying for one another? How many times did you just think, you know, I'm going to pray for that marriage or that family or that new person or that single mum or that person or those students? Or how many times? Because I know this for a matter, I know this. If we're going to do something significant, there's got to be an incredible love for each other in this place. There's got to be a love for each other. There's got to be like, I care about you. Not just me, not just pastor. Everyone in this place needs to go, I love each other. I love you. I want to pray for you. That doesn't mean we ring up every person every week. Hey, man, what can I pray for? Oh, come on, man. You don't have to ring me every night. That just means you say, hey, I'm thinking about you. You know what? 100 times out of 100, when someone comes up to me, whether from here or Sydney or Phoenix now, and they say, Troy, I've been praying for you. Guess what I say? No, I don't. I say, thank you. So really, I say, that's special. I've never once told them, nah, it's all good, man, don't worry about it. I'm good, you don't need to pray for me. Man, I'll take 1,000 prayers, sweet. And I know, guess who else would? You would. And wouldn't it be awesome if we just begin to pray for each other? We're family. Listen to what John chapter 13, Jesus said these words. And these were new words for people because all they'd heard was the commandments, the law. Then Jesus comes along and says, I give you a new command. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, the love you have for one another, everyone will know that you're my disciples. Everyone. If you love one another. So many people outside church walls would not think that the church loves each other. So many people would think the church are at war with each other. I'm not having a dig. I know it's not completely healed, but you just got to go to Ireland and you can live on one side of the street and be Protestant and on the other side of the street be Catholic and you hate each other's guts and just trying to kill each other in God's name. Now, that's Christians. there's religious wars happening all over the place. There's bickers and batters and divisions and scandals and cover-ups and royal commissions. Most people think the church is like the most divided thing on the planet. And Jesus says, you want people to know that you're my disciples? You better find a love for each other. And one way we can learn to love each other is if we go, you know what? I'm going to start praying for people. I'm going to start praying for this church room. If you don't even know their names, you just go, I'm going to pray for that girl that was, she ate the pizza. But anyway, I'm praying for that person. This week, she'll just have the most incredible week. If there's anything she's fighting, I pray she has victory. Just little prayers. I'm just praying for that family. I pray mum and dad would just have the strength to just go for it. I'm just praying for that marriage. I pray if there's anything in that marriage that needs preparing. I'm just praying for that marriage. I'm just praying for that person that needs a new job. I pray they get that job, the best job. I'm just praying the door opens, that opens. I'm praying for that person that's got a battle with addiction. I just pray they'd be able to defeat that thing. They'd be able to stand on top of it and crush it. Yeah, it's little prayers, just praying for one another. Because if you pray for one another, you begin to love one another, you begin to care each other, care about each other. Now, I know the air conditioner's going off, hasn't it? I better wrap this up in a few minutes. I'm getting hot up here. You feeling that, Ari? That's okay. No, I've only been going for 18 minutes, so it's not that bad. Don't you fall asleep with me and say, Peter. And I'll edit that out of the podcast. You're good. I pray this would be challenging. You know what? I pray this wouldn't offend you, but I pray this would cause you to go, man, I'm going to love each other. Churches, unfortunately, are known for, I'm not saying we are, but we're known for being the most cliquey, the most unwelcoming, the most full of slander and gossip and backstabbing place. There's a TV show in America. It came here. I don't know if it got rescreened. Called GCB, I think. Or CGB. GCB. God, chick, good Christian, B word. And it's a hit in America because they're modelling what most of the public think happens in church life. Now, I'm honestly not suggesting every church is like that, but there are churches that are just full of that. It's the worst place. It's the most unwelcoming place, the most unloving place. We've got to be the place that goes, man, we're going to love each other. We're going to stand up for each other. We've got each other's backs. I pray this would challenge you. I pray this would cause you to go, this is my family. I'm going to carry with it. You know, I used the example this morning, but she's here, so it's a bit harder. But my wife, I just love her. She loves you guys, I'm telling you. You might not know that she loves this church. She's got her own battles. But I'm telling you, that doesn't stop her from being here every week, running kids just about every week. And every time it happens, just on a regular basis, she gets an SMS, I can't make it. Guess who fills in? Look at the music roster. Guess who's on every week leading worship for the next term at night? Now, I'm not bragging on her. I'm not trying to make you go, oh, poor possum, give me a... I'm trying to say, imagine if we could all just love the church like that. I know, man, look at Liam up the back. That guy's just crazy. He loves you guys. Mate, he'll run uni events. He'll spend his own money. I'll give him a budget and he'll say, I don't care about the budget. I'm spending my own money. Fine, spend your own money. Right? But that guy, he just loves me. I know this deal. And he'll be here when he's here. He'll play the drum. He was here this morning. But I just know if we could just get a whole bunch of people that love each other, we'll just say, man, what does it take? What am I going to do to make this place so we love each other more? We carry together. Second last one, and I'll wrap this up. That honestly, please, that was not planned, okay? Like, I didn't know I was trying to rap on her there. But I love you. I you know what? And I love you, Liam, but wait a sec. It's not my wife right now. Hey, don't take the limelight now, mate. This is her moment. Will you marry me? you want to propose right now? Well, I just love my wife, but it's... She was that before I married her. She's just always loved the church. She loves God's house. If we could all learn to love God's house, love the people, man, it's going to be a beautiful thing. I know there's others. There's people here that I just, man, I can't imagine doing this life, this journey without them. Fourth prayer and then second last. This is going to maybe get into some of you, maybe. This is a dangerous prayer. I love Darwin. And it's people. Some of you think, get stuffed. No way. They're a bunch of yobbos. I love Darwin. I love Darwin. I'm shocked. I mean this, not just in church, in general, talking. I meet people, love talking to people. Very rare to find a person that loves this city. Very rare. It's culture, right? That we just complain about Darwin. The wet season. It's like we forget it's coming every single year. It's coming again. It's about to finish. It will come again. We forget that it's coming. But it's amazing that people that have just... It's like they forget they live here. And they're already living where they're planning on going next. Now, there's a problem with that as Christians. Okay, there is a problem with that. And I'm not pointing the finger at anyone. The problem with that is it means you're not loving the people of Darwin, which means the people that you're trying to reach, you don't even love. And they're going to see right through you and go, well, you don't even like this place. We need a church. And man, Darwin needs a whole bunch of churches with the pastor and the team and the crew. And whether you're here for 4 weeks, 4 months, or 4 years, or 44 years, man, we just love, while we're here, we are going to love this city. Because when we start praying, I love Darwin, and I love its people, that doesn't mean you're not allowed to think about future plans. That's why. Some of you are doing uni stuff here for a year. No worries. Some of you are posted in the military. Some of you here on an assignment. No worries. But while you're here, you say, I love my city. I love the people in the city. Those drunk yobbos on Mitchell Street need Jesus. Big time. Those hippies that wear their fisherman pants, they need Jesus. They drink water out of jars. They need Jesus. They do, because it's more eco-friendly. They need Jesus. Every person in Darwin needs to know that we actually love this city. They matter to him. Begin with me by praying a dangerous prayer. If you haven't, I love Darwin. I'm telling you the honest truth. I am not lying about this. I love this city. I love it. I love more than the shopping centre, more than the beautiful scenery, more than the sunsets or the markets. I actually love the people of this city. They matter to me. And if we could start praying, God, I love this city. Who knows what it's going to do in your life? And then finally, last prayer. And this is a pretty scary prayer. But if you mean it, it will revolutionize your life. And this is this one. This is this one. I don't know if that's English, but it'll do. This is this one. Final prayer. Lord, less of me, more of you. Less of me, more of you. If you were to record my prayers on the screen, some of them is pretty crazy and embarrassing at times. Because I pray prayers like this. Oh, Jesus, I just want to be like you. And then 5 minutes later, I'll be on my Xbox. An hour later, one more level. 2 hours later, go to the fridge, pat the dog, think about that prayer. One more level. Sometimes. Now, I'm not trying to just bag myself out here. But if we could pray this prayer where we say, Lord, less of me, more of you, we begin really giving God permission to stir us to want to hang out with him more. Do you know, this is 10 out of 10s, and this is not in a condemning way. Anytime I ever feel like I'm with God, just walking, I love going for just going down the beach, just talking, praying. And every time I give him permission, I say, what are you saying to me, Lord? I guarantee it, 10 out of 10 for me, I'm not saying this for you, is I want more time with you. He's not saying it in a way like, man, you can't play video games, or you can't watch TV, or you can't play with your stupid dog. He's not saying you can't do that. He's saying he just wants me. He wants to hang with me. The Bible actually says, it's not contradictory at all. He says he's a jealous God. He's not jealous of the shoes you're wearing or what color hair you got given at birth. He's jealous of you. He wants you. He only wants you. When we're watching TV, he's up there going, I'd rather you hang with me. He's not saying that's evil, turn it off. Sometimes you do need to do that though. But he's saying, seriously, there's plenty of TV you just should be turning off. He's saying, I'd rather be with you. Because he wants us. He wants us to be more with him. Listen to this scripture. It says this in Galatians 5. It says, I say, walk by the Spirit. That's hanging with God. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict. One is North Korea. The other is South Korea. They hate each other's guts. So that you do... Josh is like, that's in the Bible? No, it's not in the Bible. I'm using a real life example. They do not want to hang with each other. Although truthfully, I think South Korea really wants peace, which is really sad. And North Korea is just... Oh, help us, Lord. They need help. They need Jesus. They are a godless nation. They need Jesus. But it says they are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. When I go for a walk with God, my flesh is going, no, do one more level. Watch another movie. When I'm hanging with God, my flesh is saying it. But when I'm hanging with my flesh, God is saying, don't worry about the level. Hang with me. If we could start praying the prayer, Lord, less of me, more of you. If we're not careful, we can become legalistic, and people throughout time have done this and they ban stuff. The answer is not banning TV or Channel 10. The answer is not banning video games. The answer is just saying, God, less of me, more of you. That's the answer. And if you live out that prayer, you don't even need to ban the TV. It'll just be off anyway. Yeah? I hope you understand what I'm saying there, because I'm certainly not condemning TV, okay? Hang with God. So to recap, Lord, I'm not satisfied. I want to fight. I love this church. I'm going to pray for this church. I love Darwin. I love its people. And finally, less of me, more of you.